Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. All right, so the wages of sin is death. Think about that for a minute, Saints. And we're going to look at parts of this chapter, Romans 6, which we have referred to recently as being a major cross chapter. And the cross is the what? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, our Lord. That's the way He paid for our sins and brought us back to God. That's the way He brought us back to God and gave us a new life with victory, as it says in verse 14 right there in Romans 6, that sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law, but now you're under grace, saving grace. Okay. I could never and had never possessed a deep satisfaction and fulfillment in this life, the fulfillment that now fills me, until I began to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. My way isn't working. I say that as a personal testimony of how good God is. I can only choose for myself, and you, friend, have to choose for yourself. So in choosing to do things God's way instead of my own, I am realizing through the scriptures that the way of God is the way of the cross. And perhaps we as young Christians, we think, the way of the cross, the crucified life, oh boy, that sounds harsh. But then when we fail at doing our walk with God our way, then we come to the cross and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You must increase, but I must decrease. Then we submit to the cross, to dying and being dead and buried, so that Christ is raising us up instead of us trying to do it all ourselves. And then we look around and shake our heads and say, man, I'm late to this party because I didn't know what I was missing. This is amazing. And it seems to me that we cannot successfully live the Christian life. Christ has to live it through us. The cross is God's way, where we die and are buried, and then Christ raises us up in His glory, victory, and success. Recently in the gym, I discovered a new exercise, and I've laughed at myself, telling my friends, man, I've been late to this party. I've been overlooking this exercise for so long, and I missed out on all of those results. And the same thing is with the cross. If you will stop and do things God's way and begin to let Him live His life through you and to raise you up, you're going to be shaking your head and yet rejoicing that now you're doing it God's way and there's going to be great success. So on that note about doing things God's way, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 7:8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The end is the resurrection. The beginning is the death and burial. So we're talking about doing things God's way, and I was just sharing with group as just a man, a friend, a disciple of Jesus, that every time and for as long as I tried to do things my own way, I've traveled pretty good. I was a Marine for several years, etc., and seen a lot of things, but nothing ever worked until I just got simple about it. It has been said in cooking that simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication. I come from an Italian and French background, so I love good food, as do all my beautiful Hispanic friends. And we know that some of the simplest dishes are the best, right? And so it's the same thing with God. It is the simple things, it seems, that matter the most. So God doesn't want us to figure anything out. He just simply wants us to do His simple will. His will begins with repenting or returning to Him, coming to Him and surrendering. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And also Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first, not second, but first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all of these blessings shall be added unto thee. So every Christian I know who is now learning how to do things God's way instead of their own way is experiencing blessings and success beyond measure. So when we do things God's way, the blessings begin to flow. So we're looking at Romans chapter 6. We read the last verse about the wages of sin being death and the gift of God is eternal life. Let's back up one verse there, verse 22 of Romans 6, our main passage for today. Verse 22, but now, he tells the believers at Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, thank God, because the wages of sin is death, amen? Being now made free from sin, you've been washed and you're no longer under the dominion of sin because you're walking in the Spirit. And the grace, the divine enablement of God is at work in you. So when the Lord saves us, He forgives all of our sins, but not only that, He gives us His power over all sin. Make no mistake, Jesus did not cleanse all of your sins initially when He saved you so that you could go back and live in those sins again. No, no, no. If you're still struggling with sin, it's because you're not doing things God's way, which is the cross. So verse 22, Romans 6, but now being made free from sin. Notice you're free, you're washed of it, and you're free from the dominion of it. But that's only by way of the cross, because just a few verses earlier, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. So verse 22, but now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you're serving Him, not yourself, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, what's that lead to? Everlasting life. This is a magnificent verse here, verse 22, about how God, when He saves us, He gives us the power and makes us free from all sin, and now we've become His servants. Being His servant means we're doing things His way, and that way is the way of the cross. We're doing things His way and no other way, and His way is the way of the cross. The cross means the crucified life. In that posture of life, God raises you up or resurrects you out of the death and burial posture. That's what the Christian life is. You are dead and buried, and Christ is raising you up. And as you're dead and buried, you're going to be raised up by Christ, and you're going to be dancing on fear's grave. When Jesus resurrects you, you're also going to be dancing on sin's grave. When Jesus raises you up, you're going to be dancing on sin's grave. Get that picture. Imagine doing a happy dance on a grave, and the name on that grave is sin. That's exactly what it says in Romans 6:14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. And saving grace is a divine ability of God over all that displeases Him. The grace of God is the divine influence of God on your heart. And the grace of God is also the divine empowerment of God in your life. Everything God commands you to do, He gives you the grace to perform and to walk out. When Jesus says that you have to die to lay down your life and be buried with Him, He gives you the full grace, the ability of God to do so. As we finish verse 22, the fruit of doing things God's way, which is the cross, is going to be holiness in your life. And the end of that life of the cross and holiness is going to be everlasting life. Let's start reading in chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice Paul asks the question, shall we continue after being saved in sin that saving grace may abound? And he answers the question. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or immersed into Jesus Christ were baptized or immersed into his death? All right, verse 4 through 6, here we go. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, this is not talking about, even though it symbolizes it, water baptism. This is baptism into Christ. This is being immersed into Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism or immersion into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now you see the death, burial, and resurrection throughout that verse, and some have said the death, burial, and resurrection is in every chapter of the Bible. It is God's economy. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 5 and 6. For if we have been planted together, notice we're planted together in the likeness of his death. Notice the likeness, the similitude, the resemblance, the disposition, the principle of concept of the cross. We have been planted, notice, planted downward, right, together with Christ in the likeness of his death. What came first? The death, right, and burial. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So what has to precede resurrection or God raising you up and blessing you is what? Death and burial. Amen. Verse 6, Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or from now forward we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6, 7. Verse 8, Romans 6, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live or have life, resurrection life, with him. Verse 9, Romans 6, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Romans 6, verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So what this is saying is that death hath no more dominion over Christ because he raised from the dead. So in the same way, death and sin can have no more place in our lives when we're crucified and raised up with Christ. Verse 11, Romans 6, likewise, in the same way, reckon or account ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, Romans 6, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All right, verse 14, Romans 6, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Look at chapter 8. Notice we just read about the law and grace. Look at chapter 8 in Romans. We're going to read a couple of verses here. We'll start in verse 1, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's two conditions here. So he says there's no condemnation to those who are what? Number one, you got to be in Christ. You got to be saved initially. And number two condition is that you got to be living in the Spirit, not in the flesh or not in sin. All right, verse 2, Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So when you're living in the Spirit with Christ, raised up with Christ, you're not living in sin, and therefore you're not spiritually dead. Remember that we read earlier our first verse that the wages of sin is death, and that means separation from God. So in verse 11, we're going to pick up here in Romans 8, verse 10. Let's start in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. All right, Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive and raise up your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. As we come in for a close, I want to ask by a raising of hands, how many people want Jesus raising them up? And we must realize that we cannot separate the cross from the resurrection life of Christ in our personal life. In fact, it is first the death and burial that must come before the resurrection. How many people know that Jesus had to first be crucified or killed and buried in order to be raised up? Beloved, we must realize that we have all sinned against God. All of us have dishonored our parents, right? We haven't always honored them. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. We've also used the name of the Lord in vain. And the law says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And we've all done that. Also, the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me, which we've all done. We've had ourselves first instead of God. Also, one more. The law says, thou shalt not steal. And even if it was a toothpick or anything small, it's still the same thing. It's a thieving, stealing. So we've all been adulterers, covetous. We've all been liars. We've borne false witness. We've dishonored our parents. And we have committed idolatry by not putting God first. So God calls us to repent, which simply means to come to him in surrender and confess that we have sinned against him and ask him to save us. You have to receive Jesus into your heart, into your life to be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Save me, Jesus. Forgive my sins, Lord Jesus, by your precious blood. Have your way in my life. Take over my life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me this day by your precious blood. I love you, Jesus. From this moment forward, I will follow you, and I look for your soon return. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for these beautiful moments together in your word. Christ being magnified, Lord, teach us thy way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply others other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.